This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Our text this morning is Psalm 85, 4 through 7, and it reads, "Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation." The sons of Korah lament the reality that Judah has once again slipped into apostasy. That means they've gone soft, turned inward, and let their zeal for the Lord fade away, and have even started worshiping false gods. In verse 4, they ask God to restore the nation and to put away his wrath over their drift away from him. They ask if he, the Lord, will be angry forever. The answer to that is obviously no, for in Scripture we see a pattern over and over again where the people fall away from God. God warns them of judgment. Then they repent. They turn to him. And then he promises that if they will continue walking with him, he will bless them and the fellowship will continue and it will be a beautiful relationship, walking in covenant with their Creator and covenant God. And then everything goes well for a few years, and then the pattern starts all over again. There's the sin, the apostasy, the warning, the invitation to come back, the promise of what will happen if they do, then they repent, they come back, and then everything's okay for a while. So it goes on and on, but the answer is no, God will not be angry with them forever. That's not his nature. It's not his nature to be angry with his children all the time. And those of you who are parents, I'm sure you can identify with whether or not you have to deal with how long to be angry with your kids because they're not following your directions. But the psalmist here asked the marvelous question in verse 6, "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" They plead with the Lord to revive them. Then they ask the Lord to show his steadfast love for them. "Lord, grant us your salvation." How does this passage relate to us? Well, very closely, actually. Now, for 3 months, our country has languished in the fear of this pandemic and as a result of this unleashing of this virus. People have been willing to sit at home rather than going to work or whatever out of fear of contact with someone who's been infected with COVID-19. Self-proclaimed prophets have said that the COVID-19 is God's judgment on this land. Now, I'm going to leave that alone. But what's even worse is that across the country, we're now seeing waves of violence against the government, against the police, and against the whole system in general. Yes, there are legitimate issues there that need to be wrestled with. There are legitimate concerns. Not all those people are not completely out of order for their protesting against what they see as racism or police brutality. But in some cases, that violence has crossed the line. And we're seeing violence for no particular reason, or violence against the system, and even a desire for revolution. But in all of this, the churches have been strangely silent. There is fear, there's injustice, there are rumblings of revolution. So where's the church in all of this? Where's the church's prophetic voice denouncing the violence but raising concerns for justice? Where is the church's voice speaking life and holy boldness into this nation's consciousness and conscience? Where is the church's prophetic voice preaching the gospel as the one complete, tried and true, only answer to this nation's ills? This whole scenario is vivid evidence of the church's need for revival. Don't get me wrong, this is not to point fingers at anyone. For this preacher is equally as guilty as all of us at remaining silent against the tidal wave of destruction, the despair flooding across our land, and even against sin itself sometimes. But yet there's hope. This morning, let's do an inventory, as it were. Let's look at seven signs that we are, each of us in our own way, are personally in need of revival. One of them is that we are entertained by things that once grieved us. When I first got saved, I cleaned up my life. I made a deliberate effort to avoid all of those things that once brought amusement to me. No preacher or spiritual mentor told me to do this. It just seemed like the thing to do. And truthfully, back when I was first saved, I was so excited about Jesus and had such a profound, pure love for Him that I didn't want to do anything that might shame Him. And in other words, I was breaking up with the devil and no longer had any need for those things of worldly affections. However, any home that has been swept clean will once again become dirty if not maintained daily. We all know that. If you sweep your house and do vacuum your carpet, that's not it. You can't just let it go forever after that. You have to go around and keep cleaning. Well, that's what we all have to do. We all have to keep an inventory and keep watching over our own souls to make sure that we don't drop our guard and let things back into our lives that we once shook off. So, are we turning on things again that we once would have turned off in terms of TV, movies, music, and even reading material? When was the last time we walked out of a movie or turned off a TV show or threw away a magazine because we were grieved over its contents and how it profaned the name of our Lord? Are our peers comfortable sharing dirty stories in our presence? Do they get upset when they swear in front of us, thinking that we would be disappointed? And are you entertaining yourself with things that once grieved you? Number two, you are silent where you once spoke. Has that reservoir of joy been silenced by time? If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, no one will be able to keep us silent about the gospel. An article I read yesterday said, the boldness to share the gospel is inherent in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you will receive power when my Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. The strongest evidence of having been baptized in the Holy Spirit is a tongue that has been set free and set on fire with the gospel. A silent tongue is a sure sign of backsliding. When is the last time you shared your faith with anyone? When is the last time that any of us had said something overtly pro-Jesus in public? Or have we gone silent for fear that we might upset the person standing next to us? And are we more worried about what other people think of us than what God might think of us? A silent tongue, again, is a sure sign of backsliding. Let's put a check on that. Number three, your prayer place is collecting dust and your Bible has pages that are sticking together from humidity and yellowing from age and unuse. Leonard Ravenhill once said, no man is greater than his own prayer life. A Christian who doesn't spend time with Jesus in prayer and by being in the Word is telling the Lord, I'm too busy for you. I don't have time for you. Or, Lord, I've got this. I can handle this on my own. Please don't ever say that. Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That was in Matthew 4:4. Note the present tense, proceeds. It's not just what the Lord has said in the past. It's what He's saying to us now through His Word. Daily, we need to be on our faces in prayer and have our noses buried in the Word of God. There's no secret formula here. Let's pray more and read the Bible more and not be bored by it. By the way, being bored by reading the Bible is another sign that we need to get things right. Number four, really this is not self-serving, trust me. But a sign of a need for revival is if we are more likely to criticize the pastor than to consider and contemplate the sermon. When church is over, are you thinking more about what you liked about the sermon than the actual content of the sermon? Criticism is a clear sign of a heart that is closed to the things of God. In my own life, I've regularly had to deal with the reality that when I'm criticizing another person, it says more about me than it does about the other person. And I go, ow, when that still small voice reminds me of that. So every week when we're in church, let's ask the Lord to speak to us about what we say about other people and how we are so free to point the finger at others. Number five, and this is a tough one. We make excuses for our sin. Sin is anything that goes against God's plan or His moral law. It's really kind of simple from what we know of Jesus from Scripture. If He wouldn't think it, do it, say it, watch it, or go to it, then it's probably not something we're supposed to do. If after you evaluate it by those standards, then it is likely it has no place in the life of a son or daughter of God. Jesus was merciful to the sinner and harsh with religious people, yet He still set a high standard for everyone. He said, "You shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." The writer of Hebrews tells us to pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Holiness and perfection is impossible if you attempt to do it on your own. Thankfully, I'm not doing this on my own strength, but His. Now back to our point. Are we tolerating things in our lives that shouldn't be there? Do we have a hidden life that no human knows about, but actually grieves the Lord's heart? And do we keep telling ourselves that this life or habit is, no big deal? Another test is this. Is this series of points causing us to go, ow? If I'm sick, I want a doctor to find the problem and deal with it. What I don't need at the time is the doctor to tell me about, you're okay. 95% of you is completely healthy. I need him to find the cause of the problem and get rid of it. In the same way, if I'm spiritually unhealthy, I need a true friend to care enough to confront me about the issues that need a remedy. Yes, it wounds our pride to be told something is wrong, but those wounds are faithful if they come from a friend who loves us enough to tell us the truth. Think about this. If someone is always telling me how wonderful I am and how much God wants to bless me, but never steps on my spiritual toes, nor never wields the spiritual shillelagh, as it were, do they really love me with the love of Jesus Christ? Sometimes to truly care for someone means to confront them about their need for repentance. And now the final point. There's something on the inside that says there's more and I'm in need of it. See, A.W. Tozer said, to have found God and still pursue Him is the soul's paradox of love. That's a sure sign that we don't need revival. If we have Jesus, but we can't get enough. So this morning we're challenged to evaluate ourselves along those points and see if there's any correction that needs to be made. So let the Lord put a hunger in us this day to draw near to Him. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.